In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
Well, as we've already known, today is the great feast day of Epiphany. Epiphany, as we've already said, is sort of when you discover something. And it kind of takes you by surprise. And it's used all the time by people. I just had an epiphany about something. A new meaning is discovered. It also means to make manifest, to reveal something. And today, the church celebrates that God's love has now been revealed to be for all people. Not just the Hebrews. Their place in history is not diminished by this new understanding. No, they've had a remarkable role. But Epiphany shouts out to every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, that God's love was offered on a cross for you. And that's such a wonderful thing. Well, the point of Epiphany continues when God says, well, yes, you are a part of my desire. But God expects you and me to also be epiphanies of that love to others. God expects us to be a manifestation of God's love by the way we live our lives and care for the world. Epiphany, of course, begins with the journey of the Magi. Those three that we just sang about, who traveled a great distance to follow the bright star in the east until they came to Bethlehem and found what they had searched for. Well, there's a lot of mystery around these three gentlemen. Were they kings, as we just sang? Some say they were astrologers. They studied the heavens. Others think they were magicians. A word that derives itself from magi. We don't know. Many people believe they came from Turkey. Others say Persia. But if either of those are true, they traveled a long ways. Turkey is 400 miles. Persia is 700 miles. Did they travel on camels? Did they travel by foot? Well, we know they didn't call Uber, right? There's a great deal of mystery about them. But we do know they traveled a very long distance. It must have been an arduous and difficult journey. But then stop and think about it. God never makes the journey to His presence an easy one. Think of Moses. Moses turns aside when he sees a burning bush. And there he encounters God's presence. Moses, who had just fled from Egypt after murdering one of the Egyptian taskmasters ruling over the Hebrew slaves as they sought to make bricks, sometimes without straw. Moses knew all about journeys from a very early age. His mother put him in a basket. Put him in a basket and set him in the river. As fate would have it, Pharaoh's daughter finds the infant, saves the infant, and Moses grows up in no other house but Pharaoh's. Quite a journey. But then he sees the harshness and the mistreatment of his people, and something in him snaps, and he kills one of those Egyptian taskmasters. And so he knew he was in trouble, so he runs away and flees Egypt and thinks God might be done with him. But God is never done with us. And so comes the encounter at the burning bush. God says to Moses, "Here's the journey I want for you next, Moses. I want you to go back to Egypt and free my people because I've heard their cries and they are in bondage. I am sending you, Moses, to face Pharaoh's power and might." No, God's call to Moses and God's call to you and to me are never easy. Why would they be? Look what God asked of His own beloved Son. If you want to talk about hard journeys that God requires. I don't know what the conversation was, but it probably went something like this. "My dear son, the people of the world are enslaved by their sin. So I am going to send you on the holiest and most difficult journey of all. You, my blessed son, will be born as one of them. You will, in the fullness of time, die like a disgraced criminal on a cross to liberate my children from their sins and to give them the gift of righteousness that they will never be able to attain on their own merit. So just what is this journey that God desires for each of us? Well, it's the same journey for us all. It is the journey of our hearts. God's desire for you and for me is to change our hearts. I want to read a quick, simple devotion about this. A complete restoration. God loves to decorate. God has to decorate. Let him live long enough in a heart, and that heart will begin to change. Portraits of hurt will be replaced by landscapes of grace. Walls of anger will be demolished and shaky foundations restored. God can no more leave a life unchanged than a mother can leave her child's tears untouched. This might explain some of the discomfort in our lives. Remodeling of the heart is not always pleasant. We don't object when the carpenter adds a few shelves, but he's been known to gut the entire West Wing. He has such high aspirations for you. God envisions a complete restoration. He won't stop until he is finished. He wants you to be just like Jesus. Well, we don't mind God rearranging a few shelves in our lives. Sounds pretty good. But we're not so sure, I think, when it says, "I'm going to gut your West Wing, Jim." Wait a minute. So our journey to him is not unlike the journey of the three magi. We must first see the light of the star. Do you see it? Do you see his love shining and inviting you to come and see? Do you hear his voice saying, "Come closer, find me. I have been born and I am waiting for your visit. Please come and find me, because I have already come to you. My Father sent me just to find you." Moses found it unexpectedly, which is usually how it happens. When we're not planning it, it just happens. And what amazed Moses is that the burning bush could never be burned up. What a marvelous image of God. The passionate love of fire burning and never consumed for you and for me. And then Moses had to do something. Once he saw it, he had to set aside his own agenda. He was traveling down a road. That wasn't his plan that day. Moses had to set aside his plans his preoccupations. And he said those marvelous words, "Let us turn aside and see this great thing. Why the bush is not burning." No, the light of God's love must do the same for us. It must draw us aside from our routine, whatever it is. And so many people might see the bush, but never choose to go over and explore what it means. God's love is like that bush. It will never be extinguished for you or for me, whether we turn to him today or tomorrow or ever. Jesus claimed about himself, "I am the light of the world." Saint John proclaimed, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Yes, God's light shines in my darkness, in your darkness. And it will always be there for us. And the hope is that we will open the door and let his light come to live in us, to enlighten our darkness, and to free us from all the pain of our past mistakes, our past hurts, our past brokenness, all the things, all the baggage we carry around. That's what he promises he will do, if we are wise enough to turn aside from our own selves and to realize that his love is sufficient for all our past. He seeks to be the light of our inner world, a star within us. If only we will seek the light, turn aside, and say, "Yes, Lord." And so today, like the three magi, you bear a gift with you this morning to bring to the King. A gift far more precious than gold, frankincense, or myrrh. You carry the most precious gift of all, the gift of yourself. May you seek and find the King and present the gift of you to him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.